Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
To convince a child to keep walking, try switching roles with them. Let the child play the role of the parent. They'll immediately do what you want them to do.
You are raising in your home people that the Bible is very clear about their status. They need to be converted, not just a conformity of their behavior. They need a transforming encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate priority.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Spanning the globe. To remind you, it's really good to be a Christian. I got to tell you something. Wow. This is Wretched Radio. Too loud, Joey.
What?
Oh, I have no employable skills. A concoction of cacophonous stories. That's the best alliteration I got for you, my Southern Baptist friend. Here we go. Let's span the globe. Shall we? This will break your heart. Denny Burke sharing the words of a mother of a transgender child delivered recently at the Supreme Court. Outside the Supreme Court, she wasn't allowed in. Talking about the government's involvement with her child. Quote, like any parent, I felt betrayed when I found out a pediatric endocrinologist, someone who knows how powerful our body's natural hormones are, would teach my 16-year-old daughter to inject herself with testosterone, a male hormone known and documented to have horrible side effects on young girls, including male pattern baldness, atrophy of a sort, infertility, and an increased risk of heart disease and the C word, cancer. Nevertheless, doctors prescribed that to her 16-year-old daughter. Nice. And the school teachers don't have to tell you, Mom and Dad, because we can't trust parents. We can trust teachers with our kids, but we can't trust parents with our kids, so they can go to a teacher in a safe space. But not Mom and Dad, who might say, no, honey, we're going to have to work through this a little bit. Do believe you're a little bit confused. Like any parent, it's hard to believe that my once beautiful, healthy child, now 19 years old, is in and out of homelessness, bearded, amputated, reproductive organs removed, and living in extreme poverty so that she can be her authentic self. Could be home with her family who could help her. She apparently has some challenges and some struggles, but no. Parents can't be involved in these types of decisions if the government has their way. And so they mutilate our children. This girl should be taken care of by her family and local church. Back to the woman at the Supreme Court. Doctors did this to her while she was still a minor without my consent or any involvement. My child is mentally ill, no longer thriving, and yet our public schools, government, mental health professionals, medical doctors, and pharmaceutical companies are telling me what is best for my child, and that being opposed to this form of self-actualization is tantamount to abuse. Hater. That's the easy slander these days, isn't it? And I even see this inside of the church. If you dare offer a critical commentary on virtually anything. Hater. Well, isn't that easy? Hater. Just shut down anything with that sort of comment. Tony, yeah. I understand you have a critique about my tie not being tied all the way up because I've got that top button unbuttoned. Is that correct?
Yes, it's disgusting.
Hater. It's the end. You just can't win with that. It works. It's all wrong, but it works. Like any parent, I'm angry and full of rage that this is the only kind of help offered to my child and that parental rights are being stripped away while doctors strip our children of their healthy reproductive organs. But most of all, my heart is shattered and I grieve for my child and for the life she now faces like any parent would. That is tragic, and that is the era that we live in today, and it is an increasingly wicked world. Who always suffers in a post-Christian world? Women and children, as long as we're on the subject. Pedophilia advocate admits conservatives are right. Yes, kid drag shows are sexual. Well, you don't say. Thanks for letting us know. The cat's out of the bag. A British pro-pedophilia advocate, who, by the way, was convicted and imprisoned for distribution of child pornography. I don't know why that's a problem anymore. People who want to shut that down, aren't they haters too? As well as multiple sexual offenses against children, wrote a book that argues adult-child sexual relationships should be normalized. Mm-hmm. See, once you put that underneath the umbrella of sexual preference, then you're off to the races. You can't judge that, because if you do, what are you? That's right, you're a hater. Pedophilia, says this activist, is an orientation like gay or straight, and thus there are no moral grounds for preventing people like him from finding sexual fulfillment. Quote, I'm not interested in why I'm a pedophile any more than others are interested in why they are normal. Well, you see, that would be apples and oranges right there. He wrote this. If you don't know what this is in reference to, be glad. And library. You know where we used to read books? In libraries. Puppet shows. Books. Now we've got drag shows for the kids in the neighborhood to come and watch. And they're children dressing up in their drag outfits. It's always a mom involved with these shenanigans. And the government is letting it happen. He said this, let's face it. When a pretty young boy tells the world he is gay and dances sensuously in front of grown men wearing vampish dresses and makeup, when she strips off items of clothing or goes on stage scantily clad right from the get-go, when dollar bills are accepted as tips, we're talking about children here. When all of this is going on, we're getting far more than just a celebration of gender diversity, of an innocent display of precocious performance talent. You don't say. It's of course this is for the pleasure of men. And that's great, he writes. It is wonderful that a rare niche has been found in the modern developed world within which at least a few kids can truly be themselves in ways that deny neither their gender feelings nor their sexuality. Being a drag queen or a drag princess, if you will, puts it right out there in the open for all to see. It says loud and proud, I'm a sexy kid with sexy feelings. It's totally cool for grown-ups to enjoy me. I love it. That's why I do this stuff. It's great. It's fun. It's me. It's bad grammar. Nevertheless, at least he's saying it, and that's the world increasingly. Yeah, you got a problem with that? Hater. The world is no longer concerned with what anybody thinks about them. This, if true, my observation is accurate, this is not a good thing. Far more profoundly than just yeeks, the culture that we're living in. This is a demonstration that the common grace of shame is being lifted. That God, who allows shame to act as a curb in a culture, if that is disappearing and evaporating, that means that God's kindness toward a nation is also evaporating. You don't want to read tea leaves or too much into this, but God has provided things for societies that take care of them. One of which would be some sexual norms. Another would be marriage. When marriage is no longer being defined, that fundamental unit, the family, the building block of a society, when that is corrupted, the whole thing comes crumbling down. But what that indicates is that God is going, okay, that's what you want. Read Romans 1. And if you've ever read Romans 1 and you wondered, okay, who are they talking about there? Who is this about actually? The answer is all cultures. It's not a particular cultures. It is talking about the culture that says we want to throw off the shackles of God's values, God's ideals, God's commands, even the knowledge that God exists, not just a, a, a vague concept of God, but the true God. Now, they don't know him in detail, but Romans is very clear. Romans 1, they know him. They know they God has written that inside of us, which is a reminder how much we need God to regenerate us, because even with that knowledge, what do? We suppress the truth in unrighteousness. We get rid of any societal structures and norms, and then we expect everybody to celebrate it. And once a culture does, God is describing it. I've just given them up. Okay, that's what you want. Go ahead. And if we're seeing that in our country, then we can, I think, without being tea leaf prophets, say God is removing his gracious hand of kindness on this nation. That is what we are seeing right before our very eyes. And there is more evidence that that is actually happening. The Pew Forum coming out with a brand new study to identify how many people in this here country, being the U.S. of A., are actually professing to be not just a Christian, but to be a born-again believer. We have some good news. We got some bad news on that front. Next on Wretched Radio. When you sponsor a Tomorrow Club for $30 per month in Eastern Europe, you are writing stories like this.
Vova and Maxim, one is 11 and another 13, they're brothers. Both of them smoke like crazy, so when they joined Tomorrow Club, they would just make noise and kick other kids around. That winter, the father left the whole family without wood for the furnace, so they could freeze to death, and without food. So the leaders came and actually brought the wood to the family and fixed the things that they were broken in the home. So the boys saw what happened. They got saved, and the change in their attitude and behavior is just immense.
$30 per month. You'll be discipling 30 Eastern European kids in far-flung and very poor villages in Eastern Europe and so much more. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
So, what do you call a fish with no eyes?
I don't know. What?
A fsh. Get it? A fsh. Because there are no eyes?
Oh.
Our newest evangelistic booklet is titled, Are You a Rotten Fish? While there aren't any amazing jokes like that in it, it does provide a thorough presentation on true and false conversions. Jesus preached on the subject of true and false conversions with the parables about wheat and tares, wise and foolish virgins, good fish, and rotten fish. Are You a Rotten Fish compares and contrasts the true gospel versus false gospels, the correct gospel response of repentance and faith versus incorrect responses like asking Jesus into your heart. All you have to do is hop on your computer or your phone and visit wretched.org/fish and order your copies. That's fish with an I. So who do you know who might be a rotten fish? Order your copies at wretched.org/fish today. wretched.org/fish.
Forget the power of cheese, the power of the ultrasound.
Darlene came to our clinic. She's accompanied by her boyfriend. She just came from Planned Parenthood, but they were unable to provide an ultrasound because they charged for them, and she probably didn't have the money. When she's in the counseling room, apart from her boyfriend, she says that the relationship with the baby's father was probably going to end anyway. So she wanted to abort, presented the gospel. She politely declined the gospel. We gave her an ultrasound, and she walked out the door still abortion-minded with the ultrasound picture in hand. We made another call for her a couple days later, and she said, you know, I can't come in, but do you know where I can get some prenatal vitamins? And she had chose life.
One ultrasound, $28. $28, one life. How many ultrasounds could you provide through preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
SOS Ministries wants to see a movement take place within God's church in Uganda. They want to see God-fearing, Christ-proclaiming churches rise up across the country and impact the whole of the Ugandan society. To reach out nationwide, they have the Ministry of Church Strengthening and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. But without the consistent support of God's people, none of this is possible. If you can help support SOS Ministries, go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is administration, the spiritual ability to guide, govern, manage, and correct. Church leaders are charged with keeping the church on the biblical path. As God has given that charge, He has also provided the gifts which enable us to fulfill that charge. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Good news, bad news, you be the judge. This is Wretched Radio. Before we take a look at these statistics from the Pew Forum on religion in the U.S. of A., some good news, some bad news. Depends on how you interpret it. Some good news coming out of Eastern Europe. No, it has nothing to do with famous politician sons getting extraordinary compensation, working in a field they have absolutely no expertise in. No, not talking about that good news. Talking about the Tomorrow Clubs. If you are not a sponsor of a Tomorrow Club, this is a wonderful ministry to support. $30 per month, you'll be discipling 30 kids. Simple as that. Far-flung villages, very few ministries, frankly, if any, get out to the sticks of Romania and Ukraine and Georgia, Albania. When was the last time you heard a presentation on the missionary from Albania? Yeah, there's some, not many. Tomorrow Clubs, they are blanketing Eastern Europe. Tomorrow Clubs, they are kids' clubs where they meet every single week. The kids get loved on. They hear the gospel. They're getting saved. Their families are getting saved. And please note with the Tomorrow Clubs, they do not do reports of kids getting saved by going, ooh, he raised his hand, she raised her hand, somebody signed a card. No, they watch them to see if there's new fruit coming from the child. Got to be careful with younger kids when they make a profession of faith. Now, we're talking about 10, 12, 14, 16-year-olds. It should be unique fruit. If they were always good in that area and they're still good in that area, that's not a new fruit. If they never shared, but now they're sharing, now that's some fruit that is unique to that child. The leaders watch the kids before they report somebody actually got saved. It's a great ministry. Please consider supporting Tomorrow Clubs, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. And now to the U.S. of A. we go. They're saying there's a decline of Christianity in the U.S. Is there? You be the judge. Here's what appears to be bad news. I'm not sure that it is. We've been talking, and when I say we, I mean all of us, not just this program, but I mean every evangelical has had the comment, you know, as the culture shifts, and it becomes increasingly difficult for Christians to make a sound profession of faith, there's going to be a lot of Christians that cave. Haven't we all thought that would happen? That as it becomes less and less cool to be a cultural Christian, cultural Christianity is going to shrink. And so it is. I don't think that's a bad thing, to be honest with you. I like the idea, too. Hey, we're the biggest religion. I love the idea. There's some comfort in that. But an external profession does not mean that there's an internal possession of salvific faith. And we have all noticed that, haven't we, throughout the years? People who say, I'm a Christian, but they live like a rank pagan. Or the people who have such watered-down dogma that it's hard to imagine they actually know that Jesus Christ is fully God, fully man, who died for forgiveness of sins. That seems to be shrinking. And I'm not sure that's so terrible. In 2000, this poll, huge poll from Pew Forum, 65% of American adults described themselves as Christians. When asked about their religion, that's down 12 percentage points over the past decade. So the external, you know, the big wampum number where we all go, hey, we're the majority religion, that's shrinking. I don't think that's bad. Doesn't Jesus want the bride to be pure? Isn't that why we have church discipline? Which, by the way, is the first instruction that we see revealed in the New Testament for the church, church discipline. Isn't that interesting? It isn't about worship. It isn't about how we do liturgy. It isn't about church polity, all important issues. It's about church discipline. He wants a pure bride. He wants it presented spotless and blameless, which, by the way, gentlemen, is what we are to be working on when it comes to our wives, presenting them as spotless and blameless, growing them spiritually. Jesus has a keen interest in a spotless bride. In America, we have had, we've had Hosea's bride. Seems to be shrinking. I rather think that's a good thing. People who describe their religious identity, however, as atheist, agnostic, or nothing in particular is at 26%, up 9 points in the last decade. Now, specifically, it's the nuns that are growing. Atheists, 4%. So that's, Ron Reagan's got some friends, 4%. That's up just a little bit, 2 points since 2009. Agnostics, the people who live in the land of ambivalence, 5% of U.S. adults. That's up from 3% a decade ago. But here's the biggie. 17% of Americans, meh, nothing in particular. That's up 5 points. That is the growing category. Put all of that together and you got yourself 26%, over a quarter of our population, that says, no God, or whatever, or I don't care. That's a radical shift. Currently, 43% of U.S. adults identify with Protestantism. That's down 8 points in a decade. Catholics also down 3 points in the last decade. There's definitely a shift going on. Please note this. The largest demographic where we are seeing this, you can guess it, can't you? Is it the silent generation, the baby boomers, Gen X, millennials? There's your growth in unaffiliated. It's at 13%. Christian, it's down 16% in that generation compared to other generations. It's the millennials. These kids, they are not being reached with the gospel. Now, to be sure, many of these millennials, they grew up underneath the whipped cream, peanut butter, wackadoodle youth group gospel. That's right. The whipped cream, peanut butter, wackadoodle youth group gospel.
I got to write that down.
It's already been written down in lots of books, certainly lots of websites. I promise you that. You can watch the YouTube videos. Just YouTube youth group, whipped cream, or peanut butter, and prepare to be disgusted. So maybe we're losing these kids. Did we ever have them in the first place? I don't think so. So those numbers are definitely changing. Furthermore, according to Pew, more than 8 in 10 members of the silent generation, the old folks, describe themselves as Christians, 84%. Baby boomers, 76%. 49% of millennials say that they're Christians. That's not good. That's why we're doing Road Trip to Truth. I'm telling you, very excited about that show. We're going to try to reach those kids. If it kills us here at Wretched, just wrapped up almost all of the shooting. Now we've got all the post-production stuff that has to be done. Can't wait to show that to you. John Fabares trying to reach his demographic with a TV series aimed right at them. One more reason to consider supporting us at wretched.org/donate. We want to reach your kids and your grandkids. In the U.S., the number of religious nuns has grown by nearly 30 million over the past decades. Fields are white and harvest waiting. Who will bear the sheaves away? Anybody want me to keep going with that hymn?
No, thanks.
I'm good.
Guess who's stable when it comes to growth? Go ahead. Guess which religion. I don't want to say denomination. Guess which religion is remaining stable with their numbers. Anybody? Anybody want to guess? Mindfulness followers? No, by the way, silence and pondering doesn't help on radio, gentlemen. Just spit it out. What do you got?
I got nothing.
Okay.
I could just throw out a bunch of different religions.
Muslim.
Sikh.
It begins with an M. Mormon. So well done, gentlemen. Mormons. They held steady at 2% over the past decade. Can I say definitively it's because they remain evangelistic? Actually, I think I can. I think I can. They're ringing doorbells. They're out in the streets. They're willing to look dorky for the sake of what they believe. Shouldn't we be too? I know. the times are different. You can't do that now. Well, the Mormons are, and at least they're maintaining, right? Now, one last little snippet of news. You be the interpreter of this. The number of people, now this, you got to break this down. Among Protestants, the percentage of professing Protestants who are born again or evangelical, it's pretty much maintained. It's up just a little bit, 59%. So the majority of people who are evangelical say that they're born again. That's up just a little bit. And that is why in all of this, here's what I think the good news, bad news, bad news, good news is. The good news is that the superficial cultural bloated Christianity that's responsible for all the tchotchkes and all the zaniness that we see and the apathy and the liberalism and the pro-abort theology, that's shrinking. The good news is those people who claim to be born again, nobody knows anybody's heart, that's actually growing a little bit. So while we see an outer shell that's shrinking, I think, and I've observed this, this is my observation, I'm no Pew or Barna, I think it's actually strong and potentially growing. And I suspect it would grow more if we were still evangelizing like the Mormons. This is Wretched Radio.
Christians are called to make disciples, but where do we start? Hearts for the Lost assists local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They'll fly out to your church to put on an evangelism seminar and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. heartsforthelost.com. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Vercanis. Remember those old days when parents could protect their children? Yeah, those old days. A 14-year-old boy in Michigan, Bobby Reyes, whom doctors declared brain dead, died last week after a judge dismissed his family's request for more time. The University of Michigan, C.S. Mott Children's Hospital, a bit ironic in this case, removed his ventilator and announced his death hours after the judge's ruling. Reyes from Monroe Township went into cardiac arrest after an asthma attack in September. Yes, just last month. Doctors pronounced him brain dead when he arrived at the hospital. His family then went to court to stop the hospital from conducting a second test to confirm their findings and get grounds to remove the ventilator. The parents requested time to arrange for their son's transfer to another hospital, saying that other doctors had given them hope that he could recover. One physician, Dr. Richard P. Bonfiglio, a graduate of the University of Michigan Medical School, attended court hearings and told the Detroit Free Press he reviewed Reyes' charts and visited him at hospital and said, "Brain death is not a precise science. I would rather err on the side of giving him a chance than on terminating things." The old days when life mattered. After Reyes' death, his mother, Sarah Jones, posted on Facebook that the University of Michigan just killed my son. They've rushed this whole thing so fast. Bobby is gone, and I feel numb. The Terry Schiavo Life and Hope Network called Reyes' death premature and needless. The old days when parents had the God-given right to protect their children. What happens when one parent doesn't want to, though? A Texas father has lost his legal attempt to stop his ex-wife from turning their 7-year-old son into a girl. Jeff Younger had been locked in a dispute with ex-wife Dr. Anna Dragoulis, who was accusing him of child abuse, for not treating their son James like a girl. Younger says she's the one abusing their son by trying to change his biological gender. LifeSite News is reporting now that a jury and judge have collectively ruled against the father, which appears to mean that mom has the go-ahead to turn James into Luna. A Matt Walsh tweet read, "A mother decides her 7-year-old boy is a girl because he liked the movie Frozen. The husband insists he's a boy. Courts get involved. Jury rules that, yes, the boy is a girl and will now be transitioned into one. I don't think people realize just how monumental this case is. We've just crossed a threshold as society. There's no going back." A podcaster, Luke Macias, who spoke with the father, said the most radical in our society have not found themselves content with expanding their own horizons and throwing off truth in regards to their own lives. They're now actively experimenting on the children of Texas. Lord have mercy. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Vercanis.
books of the Bible. First and Second Chronicles traces God's unfolding plan from Adam through the Babylonian captivity. When you wonder what God is doing in the world, Chronicles shows us this pattern. He is calling a people to himself, placing them under the rule of his king, and preparing them for worship. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
To demonstrate we practice what we preach, I'd like to applaud a group that practices what they preach. This is Wretched Radio. Last week, we're encouraging us all to be kinder, be nicer. When you see somebody who is even an opponent, it's okay to say that they're doing something right. That doesn't affirm everything that they're doing. And I'd like to actually practice that by applauding the pagans for being so consistent. You just have to give them props in this regard. They say something and they actually live it out. No waffling, no exceptions. They say, this is what we believe, and they never, ever waffle or waver. They're never double-minded. So to all the pagans, I applaud them. Well done. Let's get to the news, shall we? Greta Thunberg, from teen climate activist to leader of global movement, 14-year-old, now leading the global movement. Because you know what? This young lady isn't indoctrinated. No siree, Bob. This 14-year-old spokesperson for adults scolding the United Nations, she's not indoctrinated. She's just speaking her own truth, because a pagan would never indoctrinate a child and put them out there to proclaim what the parents believe. Once again, salute to the not double-minded unbelievers who accuse us of indoctrinating our children. How dare you teach those children those things? As if they don't. We thank you for joining us for this demonstration. We practice what we preach at Wretched Radio. I thought I did a fine job with that one. Uh-oh. Here's a story for you. Maybe causes you some consternation. Or maybe you're concerned whether or not you can consume Kellogg's products in the future. Headline from... How do I need my glasses? Why didn't I bring those over? Corporate wokeness continues. Kellogg's launches LGBT cereal. It's called All Together Cereal. Yeah. All Together to promote Spirit Day, a day for LGBT awareness. Despite the fact that there's now an entire month dedicated to the LGBT community. I know. Didn't you see the flags everywhere? An entire month.
I know.
Isn't it every day now? A whole year?
Well, if things keep going the way they seem to be going, you got that right. Now, here's the question for you. Can you eat Kellogg's products anymore? Can you consume products of people who use the proceeds from your purchase to perhaps promote a wicked ideology? Can you shop? Because I'm pretty certain somewhere in the food chain, getting you, whether it's a box of cereal or a loaf of bread, somebody involved in that process, probably a sinner, or using the proceeds from your purchase to do something sinful. So do we Christians stop eating everything? How do we deal with a world that is continuing to get bonkers with their worldview and ideologies to promote things that are just downright sinful? And I think the answer is, it's a conscience issue to some degree, but we are not called to be separate from the world. We are not called out of the world. Jesus didn't do that. I don't call you out of the world. I'm leaving you in the world to be salt and light. I'm not calling you to go out, buy land in Missoula, and then have a farm. I don't know why Missoula. But to have a farm, self-sustaining farm, and only Christian-made products. Jesus doesn't ask us to do that. Furthermore, we see Paul living it out as a tent maker in the culture. Commerce, there's no admonition. I know an argument from silence, but there's no admonition in the New Testament, in the epistles, that says, don't you do business with somebody who's a sinner. You couldn't do it. Seriously, you couldn't do it. The Amish can't do it. They're not totally self-sustained. They use the road. Okay, they ride a buggy, but they're using the road. They drive into town. They'll make purchases. Now, they'll reject some of them, but they're still involved in commerce. They're still involved in trade. They're still involved in taxes. You can't escape it. And Jesus, fully aware of that, said, I'm not calling you out of the world. You live in the world. If it's a conscience issue, don't buy it. Don't eat it. I don't think I could buy this particular cereal, but that doesn't mean that you can't eat a Kellogg's product. I don't think. Troubles you? Don't do it. Get Post Raisin Bran instead of Kellogg's Raisin Bran. I think Post Raisin now has actually... Post Raisin almost has too many raisins in their bran. It used to be that two scoops of raisins... No, yep. It's Kellogg's that almost has too many raisins in their bran, because I always thought that Post had more raisins than Kellogg's did. But I think that's actually been reversed. Glad you could tune in to Raisins Are Us Radio. Eat it if you want to. Don't eat it if you don't want to. But you got to buy stuff. You got to go to the... Okay, so what are you... You're going to buy Captain Crunch because that's made by a different... I promise you they're sinning too. When we were at the Truth Matters Conference... Did I mention I was at the Truth Matters Conference? This subject actually came up a couple of times. And Dr. John MacArthur... who's clearly thought through the issue. That is, he was very clear on this. In fact, he actually went a step further. Apparently, there's a trend, and I'm not. If you want to partake of this, I'm not saying don't do it. But he's saying you don't have to do it if you want to do that because first whatever you like it, you think that's important, go ahead. But John MacArthur's position on the issue of Christian investing, he said, you're going to invest in a company. There's sin in it somewhere. So if you have 401k or if you've got stocks, you play them, whatever the market is, you buy gold, whatever, you're not going to be able to buy it from a pure company. Everybody's involved somehow. There's somewhere in the process. There is going to be sin. Even as, let's say that you do. You work with an organization and they try to find organizations that don't support overtly sinful practices. It's still made up of sinners who are going to use something of the profits to do sinful things, to go get drunk, to sleep around, to watch whatever. Furthermore, even as you maybe send the email to the broker to make the investment in a company that doesn't support something that's overtly sinful, you're using an internet system that you pay for every month that does sinful things with your money. See, you can't get away from it. Now, would a Christian want to invest in a company that manufactures something sinful? I don't think so. But we just have to recognize companies that make products like a good brand cereal are going to use your profits for bad things, and the Bible doesn't say you can't shop with them. You do with that as you see fit. But never, ever, ever forget this. Kellogg's does have more raisins than Post Raisin Bran. I'm just saying, they do. There's no...
Yeah, but they've now messed with my Tony the Tiger, and I'm afraid they're evil and done.
What did they do to the Tony the Tiger?
He was part of that whole package for Spirit Day.
Oh, he was in it?
Yep.
Okay, brother, can I just share a little insight with you on something?
Can't. To
maybe help you feel a little
bit
better?
Not listening.
Tony's a cartoon. He's not an actual, like... any sort of automatous being who has his own thoughts. And it's not like he was participating. The people who
he
run
was
the
participating.
Place drew.
He's right there. Probably saying it's great.
You just don't like it. Was Captain Crunch in there?
No. Huh? No, he's produced by Quaker, which is owned by
whatever.
Pepsi.
Is it just mascots that share your name? Is that the dealy, Bob?
That's a big part of it, yeah.
So you're guilty by association. So you participated. You share a name with Tony the Tiger,
yeah.
Who was actually in the Kellogg's LGBT thing, whatever.
Yep. So I'm okay because...
You support LGBT. Yeah. How do you like that degree of separation, Tony?
I'm okay because Bazooka Joe has not been involved with anything controversial for decades.
Yeah.
He really hasn't been involved with anything.
Nope.
Yeah.
For decades, yeah.
You know what? If you don't get that gum the day that the truck brings it to the candy store, you're going to break
old.
A jaw.
Yep.
That's all. That stuff just gets hard immediately. How much is a piece of Bazooka Joe anyway? It used to be a penny when I was somebody's age. Let's go to
Great
Britain.
Is that when you had to ride dinosaurs into town?
No, not dinosaurs. You had to ride a mule. Do you know the difference between a mule and a donkey?
Yeah, a mule is half. Sorry, go ahead. I don't want to steal your thunder yet again.
You're not going to. Go ahead, because you're just wrong. Go ahead, say what
you
want.
Mule is
say.
Half donkey, half horse.
No. Mules eat post raisin bran, donkeys eat Kellogg's. That's the difference right there. Oh. To Great Britain we go. That's too sad of a story. Let's try this one.
By the way, Captain Crunch's real first name is Tony. He's Captain
Tony
Crunch.
I got one for you. Tony?
Yeah.
You used to be Catholic, correct?
I was.
Yeah, you were. Now you're Lutheran.
It's been a trip.
You missed out on this opportunity to spend $110 for a click-to-pray wearable rosary. You could have had that right there. That's right. The e-rosary is an app-driven device that can be worn as a bracelet. To activate it, all you have to do is make the sign of the cross and a bibbidi-bobbidi and a boo to you. Once activated, the wearer can choose between three different options to pray. Look at that for $110.
That's like cheap.
You talk about convenient. Uh-oh, Tony. Wasn't there a Pope Anthony once upon a time?
I don't think so. Ever.
I think there was. That, you know what that means, don't you?
Lots of saints.
That means you're still Roman Catholic if I've got my degrees of separation thing all figured out.
You keep working on that.
This is Wretched Radio.
Thank you for joining us today. Always glad when you can spend part of it listening to Wretched Radio. Would you prayerfully today consider supporting our prison initiative? Within 3 years of release, almost two-thirds, 67.8% of people released from prison are rearrested. Within 5 years of release, about three-quarters of the prisoners are rearrested. Those recidivism rates are simply too high, and we think the gospel would help. So our plan is to give our gospel booklets to prison ministries to give to the prisoners. If you're able, visit wretched.org/donate to support our prison initiative, because the more you give, the more we are able to give away. Wretched.org/donate. If you are part of a prison ministry and you'd like to receive these resources, you want to contact Al. Easy peasy. Al@wretched.org. Al@wretched.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Couldn't say it any better than Michael Woolworth from Bible League International.
The world will drill wells and provide food and shelter. Those are very important causes. Yes. We smile favorably upon those. But getting God's word to believers half a world away, people you won't meet this side of eternity, that's on us as God's people.
Ain't nothing wrong with digging a well, but it is only the Christian church that can provide living water. Bible League International for decades, delivering Bibles to believers who have made a profession of faith, believers who have studied the basics of the Christian faith, are then given living water in the Word, a Bible, for just $5 per Bible. You could deliver a Bible to a believer overseas through Bible League International. Might it be possible you could send, say, six per month? Please call Bible League at 1-800-YES-WORD.
60 to 80% of our youth are leaving the nest, flying off to university, and abandoning their faith. Wretched wants to reach these kids with the gospel by distributing 1 million copies of our evangelistic resource, What Time is Purple, on university campuses around the country. If you are a ministry or a church group, we'd love to send you a whole bunch of copies. Just contact Al Yerkes, al@wretched.org, for more information. If you want to give out What Time is Purple on your own, visit wretched.org/purple for free copies. You know, it's only with your support of Wretched that we can do things like this. If you're already supporting Wretched, thank you very much. Please know we are very grateful. And if you're not, would you consider giving a tax-deductible gift to Wretched on a monthly basis? Go to wretched.org/donate for details on becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner. And to give out copies of our evangelistic booklet, What Time is Purple, go to wretched.org/purple, and let's reach millennials together.
Important dates in Christian history. 432 AD. After escaping years of slavery in Ireland as a young man, Patrick, a British Christian, returns to Ireland as a missionary. His work results in multitudes of Irish people coming to the Christian faith. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yes, Todd?
Are we doing this really late this time? You gonna get into the show here at all?
I don't think so.
Okay. What do you plan on doing then?
Pretty much nothing, to be honest. I thought that last segment was so packed with information that there's no reason to do any more show. I think we pretty much
understandable
contributed everything we got here. This
we got
is
raisins and Wretched
Radio. You are listening to what is it called?
Radio?
No, the thing ADHD. Is that it? I was going to say ACBC, but that's the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, which is a great organization demonstrating that I've got the other thing, which is ADHD. ADHD times three. We hope you enjoy the program. Uh-oh. Is this enough to say we're going to see a new trend of stories pushing polygamy? Fox News. Fox News. I thought Bethel owned Fox News now, and they were controlling all of their media output, which they seem to be lately, don't they? Yikes. Whenever you turn on, open up the Fox News thing these days, and it just, people send this, all the Fox News promoting New Apostolic Reformation stuff all the time. Now, Fox News, Washington married couple, the woman, the two women, and the guy open up about their thruple relationship. Thruples is what they're called. Not a couple, they're thruple. Three's Company. For one, you know, it just dawned on me for the first time.
Uh-oh.
Three's Company, that TV show back, was that the 70s?
Yeah.
I never watched it, but it just dawned on me. It's about a guy living with two girls. Yep. Like, and that was a sitcom.
He was undercover as a gay guy.
Yeah, because they wouldn't let a straight guy live with two women, but if he's gay, it's okay, because it was the 70s.
I can almost guarantee you that show is not being shown on Nickelodeon in reruns. That probably, it's got to be, that cannot be politically correct anymore. It can't possibly. Three's Company for one Washington State trio who live happily together under one roof with their four children and embrace life as a thruple. This article was entirely friendly. There was nothing critical about it, just... Here it is. This is, yeah, there are some people who are negative, but, you know, they'll learn. Oh, boy. How's about this story from Fox News? Silicon Valley star Thomas Middleditch? Does anybody know who that is? Silicon Valley star? I don't.
No
37-year-old actor professed to Playboy that not long after their wedding in 2015, he asked his wife for an open relationship. Nice. Only
just,
after I got
just
married.
Just trying to imagine that conversation.
Her name is Molly Gates. Could it possibly be related to Bill? At any rate. Only after I got married, I was like, Molly, I'm sorry, but we have to get non-traditional here. Huh. Maybe something you should have disclosed up front. Can I call you sir? To her credit, instead of saying, forget about it, I'm out, she was like, let's figure this out. To be honest, swinging has saved our marriage. No, actually, it's so totally corrupted it, it's unrecognizable. We have different speeds, and we argue over it constantly, but it's better than feeling unheard and alone, and that you have to scurry in the shadows. Well, or you could just be faithful to the woman you vowed to be faithful to, or do we not vow that anymore? What are vows these days? And I, Bob, take you, Sally, and anybody else that I deem interesting to be in a relationship with me for as long as I find it satisfying. But when I don't, well, get ready to be flexible. What happened to marriage? Again, this to me is God's hand of grace being removed. This institution called marriage, which Paul even recognizes as being valid, a God-glorifying thing, even when it is not done in a Christian church. That is why if a pagan marries a pagan and one of the pagans becomes a believer and the pagan then leaves, that's grounds for divorce. Now, what is being said there, that the marriage between the two pagans was valid. So they didn't use the Genesis 2 language that we see Adam using with Eve. We don't hear that language of death do you part being spoken in a pagan ceremony in Corinth in the first century. Nevertheless, whatever the ceremony was, God sees it as a valid marriage. And God likes marriage. It's good for people. It's good for human thriving. When a culture turns its back on it, it is not because God is blessing that nation. Middletich said he thought his urges to sleep with other people would end once he got married, but they didn't. Young man, let that be a lesson to you if and you're thinking, once I get married, I won't have the urge to look at pornography. If you can't get it under control now, marriage is not going to help you do that. Kill it now. One of the encouragements that I think is helpful for young men who are sinning in this way, play the man. Play the man. Stop acting like a boy who cannot control your body. Start playing the man that a young lady would love to say, I do, too. Yes, I will be your lawfully wedded wife. Yes, I would like to enter into a lifelong exclusive covenant relationship with you because you are a godly man. Start acting like it. Put those childish things away. Speaking of playing the man, Ridley, we're going to be having a Reformation celebration week. The entire week we are going to be sharing, it's da bomb diggity. It is Stephen Lawson, I think, I don't want to say it at his best, because his preaching is him at his best, but teaching about the Marian martyrs following the Protestant Reformation, the 280-some, and the number is undoubtedly higher, underneath the reign of Bloody Mary, the stories you'll hear about Ridley and Latimer and Cranmer and John Rogers, that is a tearjerker of a story and an encouragement that people were willing to die for the faith. And when I say people, I mean more than men, because it was men, women, and children that she murdered for being Protestants, holding on to the term that was used sometimes was Lutheran doctrine. Didn't mean that they were Lutheran, but Luther-like, the Protestant doctrine, which, by the way,
it would have been Anglican, wouldn't they?
It was... Well, but it was Lutheran. But even Anglican was informed by Lutheranism, yep, to a degree, by Protestantism. Oh, I just read this, that the word Protestant likely doesn't mean a protester. I'm protesting against the Roman Catholic faith. It was protestari, which is to proclaim forth. This is what we believe is true. So it's not we're just against the Roman Catholic Church. It is that, or at least used to be that. But it was more of, here's the truth. We want to proclaim the truth. That is what Protestant is. It's not just we're sour grapes about stuff. It's that we want to proclaim grace alone, faith alone, and Jesus Christ alone. If you get a chance, tune into Wretched TV that entire week. The Marian Martyrs, Steve Lawson. And we're also going to be having our Reformation celebration. It'll be airing on TV. And we will be sending you a notification and a link so that you can watch it with your family. So important that you remember your Protestant heritage with your kids. So many kids, they just love to go sniffing. Hey, what's over there in the Roman Catholic Church? Ooh, look at the pomp and ceremony. Ooh, look at the Eastern Orthodox Church. It seems so mystical because it is. Teach them. They don't need to go to one of those movements to be connected to a heritage. They have a Protestant, a proclaiming forth heritage. Jan Hus is an ancestor. Martin Luther is an ancestor. John Calvin is an ancestor. People who died. John Rogers is an ancestor. Remember, your ancestry is not a denomination. You do not go back to John the Baptist because you call yourself a Baptist. You go back to John the Baptist because you're connected to every believer throughout church history. That is your heritage. And that's why we need to be reminding our kiddos. So please, you can watch it. We'll send you the link. It is da bomb diggity. And speaking of issues that we were speaking about, received an email from somebody scolding me, lovingly, but nevertheless scolding me. Hey, every time you talk about pornography, you always talk about men. Don't forget the women. Headline. In the massive global scourge that is pornography, men are not the only addicts. Estimates indicate pornography is a $100 billion global industry. Yikes, $10 to $12 billion out of the U.S. alone. 21% of youth pastors admitted they currently struggle with porn themselves. I suspect that number is higher. But it's not just a men's problem. Barna study found 33% of women ages 13 to 24 seek out porn at least once per month. Another sign of God's hand of grace being lifted on a nation when women are behaving like that. Romans 1? Anybody? Until tomorrow, go serve your king.